Hear the word of the Lord for a meditation this day. And you have forgotten that the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory, for you are such an awesome God. And Lord, throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament, especially in chapters like 1 Corinthians 13, you remind us over and over and over again about your love. In John 3:16, your love for the whole world. In John 3:17, that you did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And yet, Lord, we know that when we're going through hard times, we go through what is, the author of Hebrews says, is discipline. Lord, we wonder, do you really love us? And yet, Lord, it's in those times that you challenge us to ask for more love. It's in those times that you challenge us to understand that this is discipline. That discipline makes us stronger and helps us to know that we are your children and that we have a place when all the saints will gather from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south in the new Jerusalem, in heaven with you forever. Lord, as we hear your word today, may it touch our hearts. May it change our lives. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Agapeo, the word for love. It is amazing to me because we hear this word, we know this word. I, more than anybody, want to see the church reflect this word, this feeling, this truth, as we deal with people. If there's any place where you should experience unconditional love, it should be in the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, when I saw the passages today that the church decided to use on this particular Sunday, and I saw the one where it talks about going through the narrow door, I thought, oi. And then I saw the one from Hebrews 12, and I'm thinking, huh, discipline, oi. Because those are not topics that we really get excited about, right? No. I mean, we know that there are going to be people that are baptized, people that actually are marked with the cross of Christ, that are going to choose, for whatever reason, when they get older, to walk away from God, and because our God loves them so much that he'll even let them do crazy things, he'll let them go. You know that? He will never abandon them. Just like any good parent, he will always be there. He will always be like the prodigal father, waiting on the porch, waiting for them to return, wanting to put his arms around them, wanting to welcome them back, wanting to put the ring on the finger and the sandals on the feet and the new robe and everything. I mean, our God is a God who will never abandon his promise. For Lena today, he has promised her that no matter what, he will be there for her for the rest of her life and forever. But he loves us enough to allow us to walk away from him. And I don't know, but that's hard for me to accept. I just like God, because I know he's got all power. I just like him to take a lasso, you know, one of those ropes, and just kind of bring us back. Like, get back here. I figured out there's a certain age where that doesn't work anymore, even with children. Ever notice that? Certain age where it kind of stops being as effective. And I guess for me, when I looked at the passage from Hebrews 12, I thought, well, what is the point of this? Why is it that the author of Hebrews quotes Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12? This is where he's quoting from, is the Old Testament Proverbs, where he says, Do not look down on discipline. Do not see this as a negative. Do not see this as something that is evil or bad. In my personal devotions, I just started reading Job And I'm not looking forward to Job. I've read Job many, many times. It's not one of my favorite books, okay? I just started, yesterday was Job chapter 1. And you remember in Job chapter 1 where Satan goes and meets with the other angels and comes before God and he says, you know, if you just took away all of Job's toys, that's my translation, he wouldn't love you anymore. He wouldn't serve you anymore. And so what does God say? He says, okay, go take away his stuff. And what does Job do? He keeps praising God. Now that's discipline. That's discipline. He didn't stop recognizing God's love because he still had his life. You see, it is so important that we understand that the words in Hebrews chapter 12, even though they sound really harsh, the Lord disciplines those he loves. Because the word discipline has a negative connotation in our society. Would you agree with me? I mean, I was just writing to the members of the family last night, just wanting them to pray for some things that were coming up. And I thought, should I tell them what I'm going to preach about tomorrow? Because every time I use the word discipline, I always figure like people are going to go, oh no. But yet, if you're preparing for battle, if you're going to be the people that God wants you to be, is it not important that you have discipline? Sam would understand this, right? If you're going to go run a marathon, isn't it important that you prepare? If you're going to be healthy and live a long life, you guys would agree with me over here, I think, that you have to, you know, be disciplined. You have to take proper precaution of your body, take care of your body, put the right stuff in, right? So it's important that we understand that discipline is what God uses to prepare us as we're preparing to go to that new Jerusalem that he talked about in the gospel, right? Where people from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south, of all nations, tribes, languages, colors, all people will gather together and there will be a triumphal entry into everlasting life with our God and Father through Jesus Christ, and we'll be able to celebrate forever the truth of who we are as children. So don't you think it's okay that because of his love for us, he's wanting us to be disciplined? If you know the final purpose, we know the plan. You understand what I mean by this? I want to give you an example. I watched a movie not too long ago. I know there's a new one, but I haven't actually seen the new one. But this one, I watched the old version of Karate Kid. Any of you seen the old version of the Karate Kid? I don't know what the new one's like. Maybe it's better, maybe it's worse. But I'm kind of stuck on the old one. And I don't like change, so I'm sure it's probably fine. But what's amazing about this is I want to show you a little video I thought was kind of cool, because it takes the theme of another movie and it overlays it on the Karate Kid. But this is a kid who's getting beat up, who's getting mistreated, who's a stranger, who has no friends, and he goes to someone who basically adopts him as a son and starts to teach him things that don't make any sense. And why I like Karate Kid is when he's showing him what to do, it makes no sense to him. And when I go through those times of discipline in my life, when we say to the parents and sponsors here, you know, will you raise, you know, help raise this child, bring her to the services of God's house, teach her the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, bring her to the Lord's Supper, and all these things, it sounds really, yeah, okay, that sounds good, but, you know, we don't understand that all these things have a purpose, that they're working towards a plan. And it's because of God's love that he wants us to spend time in the Word, that he wants us to worship together, that he wants us, I mean, we could all say, well, we could worship God anywhere, right? God is everywhere. But yet he wants us to worship together as a family. He wants to do these things because it helps us and disciplines us for the end of the plan, which is to be with him forever. And so I'd like you to watch this video, and I hope you find it as amusing as I did, because what it does is it takes all those parts and tries to put them together, and we'll see if it works.
Remember, dear, always.
Yes, I.
My soul.
So what do you think? I love the Rocky theme. But you know, the important thing about this is that he didn't know why wax on, wax off, you remember? Or why stand this way, stand that way. And what's really neat is that when he finally gets really frustrated with having painted the fence both inside and out, having done all this work, not knowing why, when it all comes together, it makes sense. And I kind of like the fact I kept that in there where he got knocked off the boat, because I thought, isn't that just kind of like God? He's probably laughing his head off, you know, get knocked into the water. But we serve a God who loves us so much that he chooses us through the waters of baptism and his word to be his children. He died for us on the cross. He rose again for us. He ascended to the right hand of God, and he sent his Holy Spirit upon us. And when we pray for more love, folks, when we pray for more love, that also means more discipline. It also means him putting us through things or allowing us to go through things where we won't understand. Like wax on, wax off. What does this mean? We're not going to understand. But yet, he knows the prize. And today, he's already prepared a place for Lena. He's already prepared a place for her. He's put her down in his book. And he's waiting for her. And that's the God we serve. And we pray for more love. We're praying for more faith, more power, more of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to mean that the evil one's going to come up against us, right? You don't want this. It means that we're going to go through times where we're going to wonder, Lord, what's going on? Yet it's in those times where he invites us to draw closer to him, to look at it as encouragement. That's what the author of Hebrews is saying, isn't he? This is your encouragement. When you're going through times of discipline, this is your encouragement. When your arms are aching because you're waxed on, wax off, up, down. Those are the times when you're to be encouraged, because God cares enough and loves you enough to treat you as a son and a daughter. He loves you enough to care desperately and to prepare you for the prize. It would be very painful for me in my condition right now to have to run the 10K that I saw them preparing for over there. I would die. Or else they'd take me to the hospital. Either one. Either way. But the reality is, the Lord wants us to be ready. He wants to prepare us. He's got a place for us. And for that reason, he wants us to be disciplined. So, in closing, I want to invite you, as I did last week, I prepared a sheet that's at the back, if you want it. On the front page, it says, God's love in the Bible, just in case I spent more time talking about discipline than love. I don't want to do that. I want to make sure everything's balanced. Because the discipline we're talking about comes because God loves us. Because he cares about us. Because he knows how many hairs we have on our head. Because he knows how many days in our life. Because he has made us and chosen us and we are his. He loves us so much that even when we're enemies, he sent his son into the world to die for us. This is a God of love. Not that we love him, but that he loves us. And so I wanted you to know what the passages were for follow-up, to just kind of dig deeper this week. So the passages on the front page are God's love in the Bible. It talks about things like God loves us like a doting father. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. 1 John chapter 3. I want you to know these things. Because when we go through these times, I want you to be able to go, yes, God loves me. I am his. I'm a sheep of his pasture. I am his. He's marked me with the cross of Christ, both upon my forehead and upon my heart, as one redeemed by Christ, that I will fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. And then on the back it has some quotes again. Thought this was a nice one. God must love crazy people. He makes so many of them. And then on the bottom I have a little excerpt from Spiritual Disciplines. There's a book by Dallas Willard that the men have been, they finished studying in there. No, you're still working on that? Okay, the men's breakfast is working on. There's another one by Richard Foster, The Celebration of Discipline. And they divided it into two sections, disciplines of letting go and disciplines of activity. And there's a list here. And if you would like to prepare to continue to grow in the love that God has for us, continue to grow in His power and His faith, to continue to grow as a child of God, as we are excited about Lena starting her journey today, I want you to take these home and just look into them. If you want more information, I'll get it for you. But this is just a start. Because, again, it was interesting. There's a Harvard study. I'm not going to have time to go into today, but there's a Harvard study that came out called Raising Teens. Anybody? A little school called Harvard. Some of you might have heard of it. Yeah, there's a Harvard School of Public Health. What they did is they talked about raising teens. And what I thought was interesting is on the first page of the five basics of parenting adolescents, the first thing they say is love and connect. And under connect, it talks about discipline. It talks about the importance of showing our love by preparing our children, by setting limits, by not just letting go and saying, okay, whatever you want to do, go do. But about being involved, about loving enough to confront, about sharing important principles and disciplines that will make them stronger and give them a great life. So brothers and sisters, when we talk about God's love, we talk about His discipline, we're talking about a God who wants us to experience more of His love than what so many people think of love today. When you hear the word agape, so many people think of love as just a big hug. Well, it is more than just a big hug. It's a big hug with more. And the more is that God will be with us no matter what. That He will walk with us on this journey. He will prepare us for heaven. And He will give us more of His love when we go through those hard times. More of His power. More faith. More of Him each and every day. Because He loves us and we are His children. Amen? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that all of heaven is rejoicing today. And we thank You, Lord, that You love us so much. You love us enough to allow us to go through things where we just wonder, you know, why? What is this for? And yet, Lord, You tell us in Proverbs and then again in Hebrews that You're preparing us for the new Jerusalem. You're preparing us to be with You forever. You're preparing us as Your children, dearly loved. And so, Lord, we pray that we would look at these things that we go through as a way of You allowing us to be disciplined in our life so we can grow and we can receive more love, more faith, more power, more of You each and every day. We ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.